You're already recorded. Okay. Easy Montreal podcast. Hello, Desjardins, Christine Zex. Go.
Howdy. How you doing?
We decided to do that thing to record two podcasts in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And we did record two radio shows in French. Now we're going English. And so, yeah, you're on the gun.
Okay. Well, how about we do the Montreal-Brooklyn?
Really?
The Montreal-Brooklyn one first, because I have the pile of papers right in front of me and I don't have to then reach down and get the other papers.
That's easy we are. So you want me to start? You want to start? Shotgun?
Yeah, well, why don't you start?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Montreal-Brooklyn, what is it? It's an event. It's two city, 16 institution, 40 artists. It's a jumelage, so it's a collaboration between, those two cities, 16 institution and 40 artists from Montreal and Brooklyn. It's a three-year project that took 3 years to organize, and it's a series of exhibition, and it was more than present exhibition. It was a way to present the milieu. Or the diversity of, you know, the two scene, the Montreal scene and the Montreal Brooklyn, because they are in a way somewhat similar, but in a way, you know, somewhat different. That was, you know, the mandate. That was, you know, that was the plan, sort of. And first and foremost, there's a big buzz around, you know.
That's just because they got tons of money. You look at the Conseil des Arts et Lettres du Québec, Conseil des Arts de Montréal, Conseil des Arts du Canada, le Bureau des Festivals et des Événements Culturels de la Ville de Montréal, Consulat des États-Unis à Montréal, Arrondissement du Ville-Marie, Arrondissement de le Plateau Montréal, la Délégation Générale du Québec à New York, Tourism Montréal, Brooklyn Borough President's Office and Brooklyn Tourism. Ça, c'est juste les organisations. What am I doing in French?
Yeah.
That's because all of them are in French. Those are just the governmental organizations. Then they were able to get money from Ubisoft, Art Solution, Assure Art, Jean-Marc Côté, the printer, whatever Headley's is, and Hotel Ambrose. Even if each one of them just gave
$1,000.
It's still a lot of money. And it's the sort of thing where, it's initially where I was thinking, okay, if this is just a way to get Montreal artists a trip down to New York, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And I hope, because, yeah, the Brooklyn part hasn't quite happened yet. I hope that they are successful in pulling that off, because you remember what happened the last time that there was a connection between.
How about you remind me? What happened the last time?
It was supposed to start, it started on September 10th, 2001. So that be careful. Don't be in near any high rises in New York on the 11th of January.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the event. We're going to talk about the best and the worst, because, you know, it's a two-parter series. We talk about the best and the worst of Montreal Brooklyn, and I'm gonna have another podcast about the best and the worst outside of the Montreal Brooklyn. So, but before, I'm just as to conclude my introduction, we'll just say there's a big buzz around that event. Yann Poco, which is the coordinator of CLARC, le Centre d'art de diffusion CLARC, which is the organism that you know coordinate or orchestrate that mega event. When I talked to him at the opening, he told me that he did about 30 interview, you know, against different media. And if we compare to the Musée d'Art Contemporain de Montréal, which happened almost a month ago, there were about half a dozen journalists there. So, you know, for that first time event, big, huge visibility, you know, it's on everybody's lips in the art scene. And it's okay, we'll get back to it. So let's talk about the best exhibition or our favorite exhibition.
What your favorites are.
Okay, let's talk about.
We definitely have different opinions about the show.
Let's talk about my favorite moment of Montreal Brooklyn. So, Julie Favreau and Patrick Martinez shows at Centre d'art et de diffusion CLARC, 5455 Avenue de Gaspé, Suite 114. So it's a video work, an installation work. CLARC really tried to, you know, talk to those two artists, to talk to each other, the artists from Montreal and Brooklyn, to talk to each other and to produce a collaborative work together. Also in that same idea, Mathieu Beauséjour and Stephen Brower did a collaboration work in the smaller room. I'll talk about it in a few seconds. So Julie Favreau and Patrick Martinez, so they did video and installation work. The video work, it's Julie Favreau, which some of you might have seen her work at La Triennale d'Art Québécois, the Musée d'Art Contemporain de Montréal, last autumn in 2011. She worked with dancers and she kind of do those choreography, but it's not very dancing slash acting, and with a lot of prop. And it gives those very enigmatic, how could I say, short film or little video art. And it's quite captivating. And la réalisation photo, what could I say, the cinematography, I think it's quite well done. I really enjoy it. And beside that, Patrick Martinez, he did that. He used those like a straw structure with plastic piece, and he kind of filled the space with that big plastic structure that looked a bit like the Biodome. I think the Biodome is closing by Buckminster Fuller. Yeah. And it's kind of an intriguing semi-formalist, semi-sci-fi structure. So the work don't really work very well together. However, they have some sort of similarity in the the atmosphere that they want to provide. So I did enjoy it. Chris Zeeks, you didn't appreciate as much as I did.
Not at all. It's the sort of thing where the piece by Patrick Martinez.
Yes.
Just struck me as being like maze-like without being maze-like, and it's sort of you had to follow the path, and making mazes' sake and just sort of like playing pick-up sticks. There is a sort of construction set for kids that's uses the same concept as he did. It didn't, okay, fine, whatever, it's there. The video by Julie Favreau, which one?
I can't remember.
No, it's, as I said in French, it's, I saw 4 days ago or 5 days ago, and at which point, gone from the memory, and at which point, if it didn't make any sort of impression on me whatsoever, then at which point, it probably wasn't all that good.
Okay. And we'll just get a few more words about Mathieu Beausejour and Stephen Brower. And they did, Mathieu Beausejour did a sound video installation.
Yeah, and as an aside, I just realized there are actually 41 artists.
41 artists?
41 artists.
There you go.
Now, I know, because it's sort of thing where...
You count them one by one?
No. I look at the program, and I'm certain that, without counting, that they're 40 artists.
Okay.
But at Gallery Clark, they got DJ Olive, who is part of the show, which is the, audio post, which I didn't listen to, because I never listened to the audio post at Gallery Clark, who wants to sit in a thing with the headphones on unless you're in a studio recording. And realized he's an American artist, probably based out of New York and stuff like that, coming up here, and somehow he's at Clark, but he didn't make it onto the program. So there are 41 artists.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
The real truth. So anyway, so Mathieu Beausejour and Stephen Brower, he's got the little room. There's a video sound installation, very minimalistic. And to get there, you need to open a hatch, which is, literally a hatch that
like from a spaceship.
From a spaceship that he did. I don't know if he bought it or did he install it or itself. But anyway, it's kind of complicated to open it. It's kind of fun. It's like a little game. But besides that, it's kind of meh.
You know, it's thank you very much, because there it was. I was with a friend who was claustrophobic.
Yep.
And because when you open up the port, there's this the door, there's this small little hole that you got to crawl through.
Yeah.
So they said thank you, but no, I poked my head in and it looked like there was an outtake from some scene from Reservoir Dogs. And realized, okay, do I really want to go see Bondage and Sadomasochism, a BDSM video? And I said, no, okay, so I didn't push the issue at all. But yes, the door was what it was, especially if you're calling it a minimalist video.
It was overall quite big and complicated, just for the sake of being big and complicated. However, you can make your own opinion about it. You just go 54-55 near the guest pay. And if you want more information, you go to montrealbrooklyn.com and you'll get more information, or brooklynmontreal.com. You can go either way, and both sites will refer you to that.
You want to do UQAM next?
Sure, as an honorable mention. I didn't see it, but they do a programmation called Video Zone, where they got about 13 artists, some artists from Montreal, some artists from Brooklyn, and they're I didn't see the programmation, but look, they're all about 4-minute video. They show on a big screen over there with nice cinematics, you know, surround system. And you also got a little screen that you can see in visual piece. So, and without having seen the piece, there were some very potential name, like, you know, artists that I really enjoy. I'm talking about Pascal Grandmaison, Olivia Boudreau, Sophie Belair-Clément, Frédéric Lavoie, Jacin Carrier. Those are all from Michel Debrun. Those are all from Montreal, which I follow the work. I've been following your work and I really appreciate it. And there's some other artists from Brooklyn, however, I never knew her name. But you, Chris Zeeks, went to see it. How was it?
I didn't like it at all. There's one good video, which was by one of the Brooklyn artists, Rosemary Petavano. And she did this thing called Paloma, which is basically this flamenco dancer on a mausoleum in some cemetery, I assume in Brooklyn, maybe someplace else in the States. I don't know. But it is the sort of thing where, and this was living up to the way that I want to see art videos, in that for the most part, all of them did have a beginning, middle, and an end. And I got to see them at the beginning, middle, and end. Because they on the big screen, they just do them one after another after another. So you just say, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to be here for about an hour or something like that. But you take something like Michel Dupron's Trancé dans la noirceur, or Cut in the Dark, which is basically a guy chopping down a lamppost in a parking lot. Okay, fine, whatever. Or you have, Interlude 74 by Sophie Belair-Clément, where basically she chops up an old German documentary about Canadian art, using it as a way to look at what people and things look like in 1974. Or you have, Elisa Kreisinger and Mark Folletti's Mad Men Set Me Free, which is a mashup of images from the Mad Men TV show that are then set to the song Set Me Free by Diana Ross and the Supremes. And there's an Israeli DJ, I wish I could remember the name, who does even better than that in terms of, as opposed to taking stuff from Mad Men and pop songs that you know, he takes little snippets from YouTube videos from people you have no idea who they are, turns them into a whole new song. And it's just absolutely amazing. For the most part, actually, of the 13 videos, as I said, there's one that's good, there are probably three that were all right, and the rest were at total meh. And it's the sort of thing where there really was no connecting. You talk about any sort of connecting thread. I didn't see any connecting thread between this other than, okay, these are the video artists from this Montreal, Brooklyn. Do you have any idea how they chose the artists?
Every organization every organization that's part of the Montreal Brooklyn that took part in the thing, they went to Brooklyn and they did like a field reconnaissance, like a mission, you know, trip. Mm-hmm. And then through those reconnaissance trip, they got in touch with the institution. Some did agree, some didn't agree. And once they were connection, then when the dialogue decided, then, you know, every organization came up with a selection.
So it was the Montreal organizations that went down to New York, said, these are the artists we want, let's go see if we can make connections to them.
No, they talk with organization over there, like, you know, exhibitions, plays, mm-hmm. venues and stuff. And then on both sides, they all came up with...
Okay, so it would be something like where Clark would have decided Julie Favreau and Patrick...
Parker Box in Brooklyn.
Okay, and
Parker Box in Brooklyn, you know, choose some artists.
So the Brooklyn organization chose the Brooklyn artists, the Montreal organization chose the Montreal artists.
In dialogue.
Okay.
I don't know how, you know, open that dialogue is. Mm-hmm. And when you think about Smack Millen, mm-hmm. in Brooklyn, who's going to talk to the Contemporary Art Museum, Contemporary Art Museum choose Aude Moreau, because in Smack Millen in Brooklyn, which is supposed to be an industrial factory that turned into contemporary art, like Fonderie Darling. So Aude Moreau is going to do the tapis de sucre, the sugar carpet that she done in Fonderie Darling. So it's through that connection that Aude Moreau was invited at the Montreal Brooklyn event. Okay. Is that,
That sort of makes it. It was the sort of thing. I didn't know if it was that there was an open call for Brooklyn artists, which might join in and we'll slot you into some place, or if it was the organizations themselves that were choosing.
Yeah. Mm. No.
Okay.
It's an interesting concept, and you know, it got a lot of potential. However, you know, think we express it, and if no, I'm gonna do it. They were not very exciting show overall, and even there were some pretty bad shows. So that's my segue into the worst. Okay.
Sounds reasonable.
Segue to the worst. So one of the exhibition I really didn't like, and I saw all of them except for the Galerie de l'UQAM, which I will see next week. Remarquer les territoires, territorial remark at Article 262 Fairmount West, Michel Lacombe, Jérôme Ave, Emily Ross, Patricia Smith. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's an exhibition about you know, a team show about loosely, well, that was my interpretation of it, of post-colonialism discourse, which they use some image which they have, you know, they mix, like, you see one image, you see a zebra getting eat by hyena, and you get some object that look like artifact, or, you know, something that you, overall there's a big African, like an African feel to all the image, and the post-colonization discourse, which is a very pertinent discourse, you know, even today. However, it was quite played by a lot of contemporary art artists. So, you know, even if it's still got a place, I thought that the exhibition there, like, you know, didn't add something new to the mix. And it wasn't very, you know, it wasn't, how could I say, assume? No, is that, can we say? Like, it wasn't...
Finish the sentence.
Like, it wasn't clear. Like, some artists that use post-colonization, you know, iconography, and, you know, have a discourse on it, and it's a clear critique of, you know, how Western culture, you know, took the specificities, like regional specificities of some non-Western cultures, and they reappropriated, you know, and it's a specific critic in that show. You have a feeling that was one of the intention of the show, but it's not clearly assumed, like, you know, it's not endorsed.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't come through clearly.
It doesn't come through clearly. There you go.
Now, there to me, it was the sort of thing. And just thinking about the worst, it's there to realize this probably has the absolute worst piece of art in the entire Montreal Brooklyn thing. And sorry, Michel Lacombe, but you're the winner.
You're the winning the loser.
Mm-hmm. It's the sort of thing where, yes, you just drew a line with a pencil on a wall and called it art. And I'm saying, excuse me, this doesn't quite cut it.
And what's the title of that piece?
It's called Literary Landscape Drawing.
Mm-hmm. And wah, wah.
That being said,
that's a real one-liner.
Uh-huh.
Oh. You get
okay.
The, yeah. It's got to be one of those shows, huh?
But yeah, no, but there, it's the sort of thing where it did have one sort of nice piece, which was the, to me, the Patricia Smith stuff, which is plot plans for an ideal city, which are sort of like, the abstract watercolors with mm-hmm. some drawing on them and stuff like that, that look vaguely, like they'd be nice, you stick them up on the wall or something nice, stick them in frames or something like that. But yeah, you're right in that. It's to me, it was very, would it be naive, would I yeah. call all the stuff in the show and the show itself.
Yeah, and I had maybe expectation, because Michel Lacombe and Jean Av, I usually like their work. I've been following those work again, you know, because like a lot of artists from Montreal, and, you know, it didn't step up to the plate. Just like another show, which I wasn't too impressed by, Optica, which is, you know, usually la crème de la crème when it comes to Art Rent Center, is the oldest Art Rent Center. It's at the Belgo. It's on the fifth floor. And
number 508.
And they brought Sylvie Coton, Sébastien Clich, Chelsea Knight, and Mark Tribe. And what can I say in that exhibition? What can I say about it? It goes in every corner, in every direction. It really lacked cohesiveness or consistency, and if they are you know, a path that were taken, or, you know, was to help us guide through those four artists, I didn't get it.
No, there was no. To me, it was sort of, as you said earlier, it's a showcase, and apparently yep. it's okay. So Optica chose Sylvie Coton and Sébastien Clich. Mm-hmm. I've never been a big fan of Sylvie Coton's work, and it's a sort of thing where, it's sort of like there, okay, fine, whatever. however, I was pleasantly surprised with Sebastian Cliche's stuff in that it's basically a installation projection of sort of things that look vaguely like building plans that he just did absolutely spectacularly well, and it is the sort of thing where it would look very good in anybody's living room. It's basically these floor plans, which get modified. They change all the time. It's sort of like animation, for lack of a better term. There are projected. They're projected onto a piece of glass, which is then laid on top of some styrofoam. And as a consequence, it has both a hard edge and a nice, soft, diffuse glow that just gives it, it's a very, very cool piece. And other artists, namely Sylvie Coton, should try and steal some ideas from him. The video that's done by Chelsea Knight and Mark Tribe, it's basically what, these ballet dancers and these hunters. Although the hunters don't, I think it's the ballet dancers dressed up as the hunters, because if you look
close, they're not hunters. They are, people believe that, you know, the Third World War is coming, so they're constantly like draining them. So that's what I heard. So it's kind of a dichotomy between, you know, people like dancer, which, you know, train on a regular basis, you know, to produce art, and those people who train on a regular basis, you know, to protect against war. And, you know,
okay, because it's, if you look at the video of the hunters or the shooters, they're shooting in the dark. They're a bunch of trees and they're just shooting randomly, aimlessly. I'm certain it was a blast to film, just because I think what, there've been twice in my life where I've been able to handle a rifle, and while I don't like them, they scare the living bejesus out of me, I can understand the allure. It is an insanely empowering feeling you get when you hold a gun in your hand. And then they had some automatic weapons, and you know, you bum 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 bum. And I just was hoping nobody died in the making of this video, but that was pretty much it. To me, it was.
Yeah. Well, overall, and you know, we haven't talked crap about those exhibitions. You know, we give our comment. That's what we do. You know, we could have been more, how could I say, or gentle, or being more critical, or been more, you know, how could I say?
Diplomatic
about it. But overall, I mean, that's a feeling about the whole Montreal Brooklyn. I had pretty big expectation, had a lot of potential name from a lot of good artists from Montreal, which I really appreciate, and a bunch of artists I was looking forward to, you know, to discover. A lot of artists from Brooklyn, you know, whenever I come to New York, I almost never spent any time in Brooklyn. I almost see like museums and some of the most established artists. I was looking forward to see those new artists, you know, that should be maybe the next thing, you know, maybe Brooklyn is the next thing. So I had my it was paved with good intention. However, you come and see the show, there's really no coherency. It's really a showcase. There's a very experimental aspect to the work that's produced. And it's okay. And overall, like, as a final result, it's really not very appealing, or it's not very, you know, the quality, they had good intention, but the quality, or, you know, just what I get back of those visits, it's disappointing.
So why do you think? Is it the sort of thing where that they just chose the artist without thinking through any sort of thematic stuff? Did they just choose bad works by good artists, or something? Why do you think it was?
It's all exclusive work. So overall, like, you know, some of might turn out good, some turn out bad. You don't know, since, you know, you just say, I'm gonna try to stack the deck. So I'm with good artists. But, you know, so many things can go wrong. It would have been better if they would have done some of those projects, which are, you know, made especially for the event, but if should have created already done work, or try more, you know, those kind of, overall, try to make better shows, not just always like try to do a survey, or like, how do you call those people, and like they go into minor league sport to look for the next pro?
Scouts.
Yeah, look more like a scout exercise more than a finished exhibition. And I think it's a shame, because with all that visibility that they had, you know, if somebody just wanted you know, heard about this and said, oh, you know what, I should see more arts. You know, I don't see enough arts, and, you know, I go to the museum once or twice per year. I should really try to go see those venues that I know exist in Montreal. I've heard of it. And he's going to go there. He's never going to come back. Like, we lost him.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but, you know.
It is the sort of thing where I'm just sort of... Yeah, disappointed in how much money, how much organization was spent. It's the sort of thing where it occurred to me that the guy who runs Clark is the one, but SAS is also in here. And Frederic Lavoie organizes the underground art stuff.
Frederic Laurie.
And the underground art stuff during Nuit Blanche.
SAS, not S. Anyway,
okay, but it is a sort of thing, and it struck me that this is very similar in that, and that's why I was asking how they chose the artists, because with the underground art, it's an open call. You just sign up and you're in, and you just get your spot chosen for you. And to me, it's given how hit or miss this show is, or this overall set of shows is, it struck me this might have been an open call or something like that, saying, okay, and you end up with what you end up, but... obviously not. And so I'm still at a loss for words as why, because it's, you figure with how many people were involved that it should be good.
In one sentence, if I can resume my thought, if somebody would say today, hey, Le Jardin, you know, you're a journalist, you're an art critic, you see a lot of show, you know, I heard about that Montreal booking, if there's one thing I should see in the Montreal booking, what would it be? I would not say, I would say probably Julie Favreau and Patrick Martinez, but, you know, that's because I like the artist. But there's no incontournable.
Yeah, it's a Pierre.
To an event that should be an incontournable.
Yes, exactly. It's the sort of thing I'd be sort of going off on a side. Say, go see Pierre Dorion, which isn't even part of the Montreal Brooklyn.
Yeah, or just watch TV. But anyways, I think that kind of sums what we think about the Montreal Brooklyn. MontrealBrooklyn.com. Two cities, 16 institutions, 40 artists.
41.
And hey, I hope the best. I don't know what they're gonna present in Brooklyn. You know, what I think, like, I probably won't be able to see the Brooklyn part, which is a shame, but I'm pretty sure we're gonna hear back from people from Montreal. Oh, it's an amazing show, like Montreal, and, you know, maybe I'll get a good visibility in Brooklyn, but, you know.
Yeah,
if we from what I've seen in Montreal, nothing, you know, how could I say? Nothing burst my nipples.
Yeah. made your head explode.
Yep.
But there, it's also, you read the reviews in the papers, because they got reviewed in La Presse, it got reviewed in Le Devoir, right?
No, I just saw like pieces, like about, but never saw any like critique or really like, you know.
Okay, because there's a sort of thing where I deliberately don't read reviews until after I've reviewed them myself, so that nobody else's ideas sort of get muddled with mine. But it was the sort of thing, if you'd read them, I was wondering what other people were talking about it.
No, I think there were a lot of people to promote the show, like right when the opening, and said, oh, it's going to be the environment. Everybody talked about the concept. Nobody talked about the work.
Okay.
And, you know.
It's a pity. And when you're dealing with art, the art should come first.
I think so. Okay. So anyway, so that was the Easy Montreal podcast talking about the Montreal Brooklyn event. What else? We got an email address if you want.
Yeah, we have easymontrealart@gmail.com. Oh, and this way, also, if you've been listening this long, we have a trivia question.
Really?
If you answer the trivia question, send your answers to the trivia question to easymontrealart@gmail.com. Because Selwa has no idea this is happening, and I'm working off the seat of my pants on this one. I promise you an amazing, wonderful, spectacular prize. The trivia question is, because since the Belgo is one of the major art centers in town, how many stairs are there in the Belgo building? Just that main staircase, not talking on the sides, not talking the fire escapes, just that main staircase from the ground floor to the fifth floor, not going up onto the roof either. How many stairs are there? Email us your answer, and we will have a grand prize. Absolutely amazing. Knock your socks off. Blow your nipples
staircase,
off.
Staircase, not steps. Staircase.
Yes, steps.
How many steps?
Oh, no. How many steps? What was I saying?
Staircase.
No, on the staircase, how many steps?
Per stair or?
No, in total. From the ground floor to the fifth floor, How many steps in that staircase in the middle?
You have counted them?
Yes, I have. Many times.
Really?
Yes, because sometimes I do them double time. And the way that I do that is I just get myself... Yeah, as far as training, you train an awful lot. When I try and make my brain as small as possible. So all I do is count 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it sort of zens me right out and can make me focus and concentrate on no matter what sort of training I have to do, or no matter what sort of physical activity, or no matter what sort of endurance I got to deal with. And it's relatively easy to go from 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20, and so on.
All right, I'll chip in for that price.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, it might be from the LCBO, because next week we'll be in Ottawa for the Builders, the Biennale of Musée National des Beaux-Arts du Canada. Mm-hmm. So till then, so long. Yes. Shout out. What else? Goodbye.
Speak to you later. Thanks for listening.
Auf Wiedersehen.